So
if I check his blood, or you can feel feedback.
You could say that's when the new covenant came. But no.
It was promised through Jeremiah, yeah. New covenant come by the Spirit.
I'm just listening. Keep going.
So, practicing Christmas and Easter, that would make your worship totally in vain. The Baptist faith isn't biblical. They don't follow Scripture. They twist it, and they do what they want. They follow the traditions of men.
Yes. What about
Jesus? Jesus rebuked them for following things not in the Word of God. He said, follow them because they sit in the seat of Moses, but don't do what they do. They were practicing hypocrisy.
You know
what?
Do you know why the Pharisees even began? They were trying to reform the Jews to bring it back to God's moral code. So the Pharisaical tradition that came up, they were trying to bring God's moral laws back. So that way the Jews could follow God's commandments. They added more laws.
Jesus said their sin, their leaven was hypocrisy. Yes. So whatever they tried, they're like man-made religion in America. They try and say they're following Christ, but they're not following Christ. Right. Did you guys cover the gospel?
Yeah, we know the gospel. Yes.
What is the gospel? Share it with us. How does a man find eternal life? Be specific. Don't leave nothing out.
That's fine. God first shows mercy, and he gives faith and repentance to an unbelieving heart. And he comes into your life, and he changes your heart and your affections. It's basically what it is. It is Christ who came as the perfect Lamb of God, and his blood was shed. He was put in our place. We deserve death and eternal wrath of God because of our sin. But he died on that cross for us so we can have life. And he calls us to obey and to repent of our sins and have our faith in him. We don't get faith without him. It is a gift of God. Repentance is a gift of God. We all deserve hell and eternal separation, but by grace, God gave us salvation. And yes, we experience salvation now. Now, as James says, are we still going to live and be in sin? Yes. But we need to not...
Did you just say we're going to live in sin? Yes?
Okay.
That's what I thought you heard you say.
We're going
to
sin.
Okay. What do we do when we sin?
Well, we need to turn it over to God.
Do we turn away from it?
Absolutely.
Do we stop doing it?
Have you stopped sinning?
Yes, I don't live in any willful sin. But if a sin...
Yes.
Okay, so if a sin comes up in my life, like, I'll be honest with you. Ready? I'll be honest with you. I've had 5 police officers today come up and harass me and harass no one else. You know what? I'll be honest and confess something. It gets me in my flesh a little bit. And I told the last cop, I said, you have no standing. Quit harassing me. For just standing and talking to people. They're walking by telling me, move along. And I'm like, there's 30 people here. Tell them to move along. And they know me. They don't like me. And I've never been arrested. I obey the law. So if I get in my flesh a little bit, I got to repent and say, Father, that's not of God. I forgive them. I got to keep preaching. But here's the thing.
And why do you do that?
Well, I want to honor God, first of all, the most important. But I also want to save my soul, because if I live in any willful sin, it is not covered by the blood of Christ.
So, okay. So
Hebrews 10:26 tells us, if you practice willful sin, there is no sacrifice. And I know you probably believe this. Can a practicing sodomite claim Jesus Christ and say, I believe, but he's sleeping with his boyfriend, and make it to the kingdom of God?
You can claim all you want.
Is he going to make it?
That doesn't even make sense. Why would he? What?
So he's living in sin. How about a guy that tells lies?
Oh, yeah.
He practices lies. So that's what my brother was talking about. Like Christmas and Easter and Good Friday are lies. And if you practice those, you're going to be put out of the kingdom of God as lies. Revelation 22:14-15. Whoremongers, sorcerers, murderers, adulterers, and whoever loves and maketh a lie. Christmas is a lie.
Yeah.
Easter is a lie. Good Friday is a lie. Do you guys belong to the church system?
Yes, we do.
Which one? Name it.
Baptist.
So the Baptist faith. Brothers, tell them about the Baptist faith.
Yeah,
what would you say? Well, go ahead. I don't want to take this over. What would you say about the Baptist faith?
They're once saved, always saved.
Oftentimes,
They're friends of the world.
They think of antinomianism? Like they believe they can claim Christ?
Some of them do. There's all different flavors, but let him preach about the Baptists. It'd be more general. He would start to tell you about how they're in the world. How about their foundation, brother? Where'd they come from?
They're traditions of men.
Yeah.
They have their own seminary. Have you considered, in Missouri, there's a seminary for Lutherans and Baptists.
Yeah.
So, I shouldn't be a Lutheran, right?
Why not?
A Baptist. Why should I be a Baptist versus a Lutheran?
How do you know your guys' way is the most biblically clear way?
Oh, you can answer that, brother.
The Spirit reveals His word to you.
Amen.
Okay, so there are
we don't practice sin. The Lutherans and the Baptists practice sin, like Christmas and Easter, that you disagreed
are
lies.
Proclaim to be the only way that they're
following. No, we're not proclaiming we're the only way. Jesus is the only way, and we're following Him. You're naming yourself a Baptist, or a man might name himself a Lutheran, and the Bible says, Paul says in Corinthians,
you guys are just Christians?
Of course.
I agree with that.
Not just Christians. We follow the Most High. I mean, wow, what a way to say it. You're just Christians. Is there anything else than Christ?
There isn't any.
Then don't say just Christian. Take that back. We are Christian. We follow the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We don't need a denomination. We don't need man-made traditions. Actually, Mark 7. What does Mark 7 say, brother?
It says, he talks to them about washing pots and cups, and he says, you worship me in vain. So you're doing something that will cause you to worship me in vain.
Amen.
That's the absolute best interpretation I can give you.
Yeah, it's crystal clear. Howbeit in vain you worship me, keeping man-made traditions. He only called out washing of pots and cups. You guys, the Baptists, are practicing worldliness. I'm generalization here. Worldliness, pagan holidays, feminization. You'll see my wife, she covers her head. The Baptists used to believe that in the 1600s. Feminization
well,
I'm
not completely disagreeing with you guys.
But if you're united to the Baptist faith, you're united to sin. And you got to leave it. Romans 16:17 says, mark those who cause division by leaving sound doctrine and avoid them. You're united to them. You're singing and praying with them every Sunday. We're part of a home fellowship. Actually, I travel. My brother lives in Jefferson City. My other brother just moved down to Jefferson City.
How do you guys get together and
fellowship? We have other saints all over the world, and we use the media like...
How do you guys get together and break bread and fellowship with believers? How do you do that?
We do it together. Yeah. We study the word together. We're online with saints.
Churches formed, right?
Of course. We gather. We believe in that, but biblically. Not with a modern pastor lording over that's a man-made invention. Not with a building. Like, check this out. Ready?
Wait.
Check that out. See that?
Paul was writing
modern pastors are not biblical. One man leading the body. It's multiple elders.
We agree with the elder body.
Multiple elders if you have a big enough body.
I think that's too taxing on just one pastor.
Right. It's not the biblical role. Look what's on that building. What is that? You guys have one? On your building?
Oh, the cross?
Nope. What's it on?
The steeple.
Do you have one?
There's kind of a steeple.
Do you know what it is? Has your pastors ever studied? We're supposed to test everything, right?
Are you talking about reference to like Gothic spires?
Actually, it is a Egyptian occult symbol. It's a male phallic symbol. It's a penis.
I mean, I think I've heard of some stuff like that, but I don't think...
Look up Wikipedia. Cool. They actually have the truth on it. Wikipedia, don't trust them for much truth, but they have some truth.
I was going to say, I don't
that. You guys put man-made traditions. You put a male phallic symbol on your so-called building. God did away with the building. God did away with one pastor or the priest system. Now we have multiple elders. God never ordained Christmas and Easter and Good Friday. They're lies. God never says we should look, act, talk, live like the world. God actually dressed us, told us how to dress in Genesis 3 when He shed blood. I was going, women are to cover their heads. The Bible is clear on that. There's so many things that the Baptists and the Lutherans, and again, we want to be fair. We're not just against. I just called out the Seventh-day Adventists. They're a cult. Formed by Ellen White. I just called about the Jehovah Witness, called them out and preached the truth
Jehovah
to them
Witness,
to bring them.
Mormons are cults, yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, so, but all of these are evangelical. Name one man-made religion that's made of God. I just gave you a clue.
The fact that you said it's man-made.
And you name what? Yeah, Baptist, Lutheran. Jesus said, you worship me in vain. Paul says, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas. Don't do that. That's division. You should follow Christ. You should keep His word and His ways. You don't need a building. You don't need a modern pastor. You don't need a phallic symbol penis on the roof. I just use that word because it's graphic.
Well, I still think elder leadership and pastors are good.
Leadership.
You should be under that authority.
Pastor is a role, not a title and a position. A pastor is a shepherd that looks over people. Right.
Yes.
The elders can teach. The pastors can teach. All of our brothers.
It's not just a preacher of prosperity gospels. No.
All of our men bring truth. Okay.
Yeah.
We only older men would lead, but all the men get a say in the body and can bring truth, and we test them to the scriptures, and we hold each other accountable. So we practice the New Testament model, and I encourage you to do that. But this ready Sunday is not the Lord's day. The Baptists teach that all the time. It's not the Lord's Day. What Bible verse says it's the Lord's Day? that. It's another Roman Catholic tradition. Saturday was the Lord's Day.
Saturday was the Lord's Day,
but guess what? This is beautiful. Let me help you here. Brother, tell them about Good Friday and Easter.
So, what prophet did Christ say he would mirror?
Sorry?
What prophet did Christ say he would mirror? Jonah. 3 days, three nights.
Oh, mirror. Yes, sorry.
3 days, three nights in the grave.
Yes. About the parable of
yeah.
If he died on Friday.
Well, he did die on Friday.
How do you know he died on Friday?
No. He's going to explain to you. Wait, can you explain it and then we'll answer it?
You're doing the whole Wednesday to Saturday thing, aren't you?
That's 3 days and three nights.
Yeah,
you think Jesus lied?
No,
let him finish it. Go ahead, brother.
What about in Esther?
Can he finish it?
What about in Esther?
Can he finish it?
When they talk about the 3 days. There wasn't a full 3 days.
You can't get three nights. Forget the reckoning of days. You can't get three nights from Friday to Saturday.
You don't think it's a little bit of symbolism?
So Jesus is a liar. No, it's not symbolism at all.
I never said he was a liar.
Here's the thing, ready? In John 19, have you studied it? What does it say in John 19 that's a critical clue? Have you studied it?
I don't know offhand. Okay.
So don't speak on things you don't know. I love you. You're speaking on something you don't know. If you don't know what John 19 says, you're in...
I haven't read it.
You're in La La Land. Well, then you can't speak on this topic. John says it was the high Sabbath. You know what a high Sabbath is? High Sabbath was Sabbath days that landed not on Saturday. They had Sabbath days on Thursday and Wednesday. They fell on different days. He died the day before the high Sabbath. He was in the grave Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. He was in the grave Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night. He rises on Saturday because he's our Sabbath rest. It fits perfectly. The Catholics invented Good Friday, which is a lie. They invented Easter and Sunday resurrection, which is a lie. It's another lie the Baptists are practicing.
I'm listening, but I can't take you fully on that.
Really?
Well, then, Friday,
I believe Sunday. Jesus. 3 days and three nights he'd be in the grave, and you guys got him in not even three full days and not even three nights. So you make him a liar. But look at the fruit.
What's you're saying that. I'm not calling him a liar.
He was in the grave 3 days and three nights. You just said it's symbolism.
Where'd he go when he was in the grave?
What do you mean, where did he go? Why are you going to go on another topic? Why are you going from this one?
I just figured I'd ask you
yeah,
that.
Yeah, why are we going on to that
Some
topic?
People,
you,
why not?
You don't even know about the high Sabbath, so how can you know that you know the truth? You haven't studied it out. I'm just telling you, you're practicing Baptist mantras.
Okay?
And, brother, when we travel all over, Brother Kuo, step up here. When we travel all over, brother, help these men. What's the fruit we see in the American church system? Baptist, Lutheran, Catholic, Mormon, Jehovah's Witness. What's the fruit we see?
A lot of worldliness, I would say. The Lord says, come out from among them, come out of the world, be separate. Yet we see the church systems are just like in league with the world.
Amen.
It's like they use fleshly stuff to attract people into the church.
Right.
That's not of God.
No, I disagree with that. It should be the gospel that's preached.
Yeah, but the church systems all do that denomination-wise, and they don't call people out of the world. They don't tell them to lose their TVs, their video games, their sports. They love the Packers. They love, we're in Missouri, I'm from Wisconsin. They love the Chiefs. I used to be an NFL pagan, so I know this. They don't tell people that. The pastors make jokes about football. They don't tell the women to quit dressing lascivious. A lot of young men come up to me and go, preacher, can I ask you a question? They said, what? He said, what do I do? And I said, what? He said, I go to my church and I got to look at the ground because all the young girls cause me to lust. Because they dress like little hoochies. Okay, hoochie in the world is like a harlot dress. I'm not saying they're harlots, they're harlot dress. I don't know what they do with their sex life, but they dress like harlots. If I walked around with a cigarette and I acted like a drunk, you'd say he acts like a drunk. I could be faking it, but I'm acting like a drunk. The pastors and the moms and the dads are not teaching them the truth, because the Bible tells us this is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And who has the authority to dress the temple of the Holy Spirit? You or God?
Oh, that'd be God.
Yep, and God in Genesis 3 put us all in loose long garments to cover up our bodies, and also told us don't adorn in Peter. And it's always been the same all through the Bible. Tunics, robes, dresses. He's coming back in a robe. You get a robe of righteousness. He ain't coming back in shorts and a muscle shirt. He ain't coming back with logos on his body. Now, it does say on his vesture he has a name, but that's not on his skin per se. So yeah, the fruit is, and also a bunch of false doctrine. How can you claim Jesus the truth and practice lies like the Baptist faith does?
Do you not think the church has been trying for 2,000 years to get as biblically as they can?
Trying for 2,000 years? I just preached at a Baptist church. They said, we're trying to get things right. You know how long they've been a Baptist church? 1895 is when they started. Let me tell you a testimony.
You believe in the Trinity, right?
Let me tell you a testimony.
Okay, so how do you get to that point where you believe in the Trinity?
The first year I was born again.
I know you're against these denominations.
The first year I was born again.
But how do you, why do you believe
I've been
in the
doing this
the
for 15 years. The first, this is a testimony. I'm going to boast in Christ here. Paul did. Let me boast in Christ. The first year that I was born again, it was just my wife and I had nobody. Everybody told us, you're crazy, you're nuts, you'll never make it, you're a cult, you're crazy. We went into the Word of God. In the first year, I started living and preaching 95% of what I preach today, 15 years later, with a few adjustments. I had to learn about clothing. We had to learn a few things, like we had to get rid of our pagan wedding rings. We had to make a few adjustments. 95% in the first year alone, just with the Bible and the Holy Spirit. How is it that the Baptist faith can be a church for 157 years, and they got the Bible and so-called the Holy Spirit, and they never get to the truth? I got to in 1 year. I'm not that smart.
So yeah, you hold yourself that much higher than the church.
I hold Christ's truth that much higher. He told me he'll teach me all truth, John 16. If you don't know all truth, the Baptists are lying to you.
Why do you believe in the doctrine of the Trinity?
It's in Scripture.
I agree. But you know the church had to hammer that out to make that orthodox.
I don't need the church to hammer out. Who, Roman Catholics?
I'm not a Roman Catholic.
Then what church hammered it out? The Word of God hammers it out.
Where does it implicitly state that the Trinity is there?
What's that?
Where does it implicitly state that the Trinity is there?
Oh, you need to go home and read your Bible. This would be a good homework program for you.
I mean, you know where the Trinity is.
The three bear heaven, bear witness in heaven, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus' baptism, it comes down, there's Jesus, the Spirit, and the Father.
Right.
Many, many places we see three represented, three in one. So, but you don't need a church to hammer that out. That's right in the Scripture. And we only follow what's in the Scripture. And here, this will blow your mind a little bit. Ready? Is this your wife back here?
No, that's my wife.
Oh, your wife. Good. So ready? This will blow your mind. We follow the New Testament covenant.
Right.
And some pre-Torah things. We're not Torah people. We don't keep the Israelite laws. You can eat pork if you want. I don't like it myself. You can, you know, you can do many things in the Torah law that God said you can't do. We don't follow that. But we do follow pre-Torah. You know what they are? How have they trained you? God's word actually gives us commandments pre-Torah that still exist today. No, that's not pre-Torah. That was in the midst of Torah. That's Exodus 20. The moral law still exists, except one altering, the Saturday Sabbath. We don't keep Saturday Sabbath no more. We're in Christ. We're resting in Christ. Hebrews 4 tells us he's our rest. Those Seventh-day Adventists are lying. Yeah. I can prove to you there won't be a Sabbath in eternity, like they say. Ready? You know I can prove that? Anybody know?
There the whole time.
No, the Bible says there'll be no need of the sun, S-U-N, because the S-O-N is the light.
Right.
In the New Kingdom and the New Jerusalem, the sun's gone. So there is no eternal Sabbath because you need a sunset to have a Sabbath. So he is the Sabbath rest, okay?
Right.
So he is the Sabbath rest. I'm sorry?
That's because he's the Lord of the Sabbath.
He's the Lord of the Sabbath. Okay. And so that's why we follow and we keep his word and his ways. But pre-Torah, ready? So God created the earth. What did he tell man to do over the earth?
Have dominion.
Take dominion. So if a grizzly bear comes in your yard and it's going to destroy your wife and you have children?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. You're going to defend them and kill the grizzly bear and probably eat them for dinner, right?
Absolutely.
That is taking dominion. You got to still do that today. In Genesis 9, God told Noah, eat anything you like. Of anything I got here, don't drink blood.
Yeah.
That's actually echoed in Acts 15, not to drink blood. In Genesis 3, I already told you, God shed blood, the archetype of Jesus' future, or of Jesus coming in the future, and covered mankind. And that's never changed. We're supposed to cover our temples. Today, we're supposed to cover our temples in garments. We don't need to kill animal skins. God shed the blood. We don't need to shed blood, but we need to cover ourselves. And these are archetypes. Marriage. You married to one woman? Good for you. You don't have five, and you're not married to a man. Praise God. God gave that. So we teach some pre-Torah things, and this is where the church systems are wrong. They're teaching, they don't even teach the pre-Torah things that God said were for always, and they don't even teach the new covenant correctly and rightly. When did the new covenant start? You even know?
Christ's death.
So most of the gospels are not even the new covenant. Have you ever thought about that? It's in the New Testament. It's all Old Testament. And they're not teaching you to walk. Paul says, keep the traditions I've handed down, 2 Thessalonians 2:15. They're keeping a bunch of man-made traditions. Jesus said, and my brother said, come out of the world. They live just like the world. James 4:4, to be a friend of the world. Football, sports, movies, politics. You're a friend of the world. You're an enemy of God. And that's what the Baptist faith is teaching you and having you live like. They're
well,
not.
We're an enemy of God because we're born in the sin.
We're not an enemy of God.
Not unless he.
Well, first of all, we're born with a fallen nature, but do you believe babies die and go to hell? Watch it now.
That's tough to say. I don't want to answer that.
No, because if you say yes, you're a Calvinist.
Well, we are a Calvinist.
You guys are Calvinists. I thought you said you believe you have to endure. Did you lie to us? We said you have to endure.
I never said that we had to endure.
So you're Calvinist. A lot of Baptists are Calvinist. My brother called it right. He said, once saved, always saved.
That's an absolute heretical teaching. It's another one that most of the Baptists teach. What does Hebrews 10:26 say? It says, if you willfully sin, there's no sacrifice for your sin.
Exactly.
There goes once saved, always saved. Gone.
So you have to keep it yourself.
You have to keep what yourself?
Sin free.
No. What you have
you
to
have
do
to
is,
perfect.
What you have to do is not practice willful sin. And anytime you do fall into sin or choose sin, 1 John. What does 1 John say about that? What does 1 John say?
If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all unrighteousness.
My brothers know the word. My brothers know the word. So that's, we're not doing it ourselves. What did he just say? The blood of Christ cleanses us, but we have to repent. This once saved, always saved is a heresy, and all the people that believe it don't even tell them about once saved, always saved. My brother came out of that.
So you can lose your salvation.
Of course you can. What did it create that you saw, that doctrine?
Created a lot of compromise and I think a lot of weakness as well, because you're saying, well, I can't do anything, I kind of just, I'm a sinner, I can't get out of my sin, I don't know, I guess I'll just sin. But in reality, the Lord gives us his spirit, he gives us his power. This is the God of creation that gives us his spirit. He wants us to come out of our sin.
It's the power of God that will change you.
Yeah, but your will also. See, Calvinists are liars because they say God only picked a few people. You want me to destroy Calvinism?
You don't deserve to be picked.
You ready? You want me to destroy Calvinism?
You don't deserve to be picked, though.
Actually, the Bible calls us to be worthy many times.
Yeah, but you don't
Christ
deserve it.
Makes the way that we could never earn. I get it. But we're called to be worthy of Christ. You're married. Do you have to keep your part of the covenant?
Absolutely.
Does she? Can you do her part for her? No. Can she do your part for you?
No.
What if one of you breaks your part?
Okay.
Covenant over? She goes lays with a bunch
of
dudes.
What about the covenant with Abraham?
That's what I was just thinking.
What about the covenant of Abraham?
That was God alone.
We're not in the covenant of Abraham today. We're in the new covenant. We're
in
the new covenant. Paul says the old has passed away, the new is better.
The new covenant.
In the book of Hebrews. So let me ask you a question.
So much better.
So let me ask you a question. So Hebrews 10:26, if you live in willful sin, there's no sacrifice. Okay? And Jesus said, if you don't forgive your brother, you won't be forgiven.
Right. No drunkards, no liars.
Once saved, always saved, thrown out the window. And here's how I can destroy Calvinism in one verse. Ready? John 3:16, the famous verse. Jesus said, those who the Father picked can come to eternal life. No, I shouldn't say that too loud. I'm deceiving people. Whosoever can come. Go look up with the word whosoever. It means anyone. Anyone can come. Calvinism's a lie. John Calvin was.
What does John 6 say?
What does John 6? It says a whole bunch of stuff. What does that mean? Doesn't mean you can't lose your salvation. Jesus said, I'll lose none the Father gives me. You can leave the Son. He's not going to lose anybody. He doesn't have to lose his marriage, but his wife can lose it.
No one can come to the Father unless he first draws.
He calls everyone. Acts 17 calls everyone to repent. John Calvin was a murderous heretic that believed in killing people at the stake.
Right? He killed many antibodies.
Yeah, I don't think he was perfect, obviously.
Perfect? That's why he was a man of God, supposedly. He used to beat people for discipline.
Perfect?
I'm calling myself striving for perfection, and I do not live in any willful sin. And if you could show it to me, I'll repent of it.
I'm not going to show it to you. I can't. I don't even know you.
But I know you. You're a Baptist, and that's willful sin. Absolutely. The traditions of men is going to damn your soul, gentlemen. Look at you. Look at your fruit. You're just like the world. What are you doing here today? Entertaining the flesh. I thought we're supposed to go preach the gospel, make disciples, teaching them to obey everything. Baptists don't do that. They show up on Sunday, do the instrumental music thing, another thing that God didn't ordain. Instruments are all fleshly. That's the last of their problems. And then get good. Yeah, I got to be done by noon. The game's coming on. I'm going hunting, fishing, looking for that big buck. See, I know all this stuff. You know why? I used to do all this stuff.
All the psalms is ungodly.
I'm no better than any of them, but I am different
David,
today.
David playing the lyre.
David what?
Playing the harp.
That's all Old Testament. Do you kill sheep?
That's
kill?
All awful, ain't it?
Do you kill
you
sheep?
You can't play instruments. You can't do anything.
Do you kill sheep?
You
are instruments spiritual or flesh?
Well, what's wrong
They're
with
flesh.
Playing?
They're flesh. Because you're supposed to follow the New Testament model. And the Catholics brought the organ back in the 9th century.
Is on your shoulders.
Did you hear me preach the blood of Jesus Christ? Now you're lying. Did you hear me preach the blood of Jesus Christ?
You've got to live perfectly and keep it all.
Did I say that, brother? That I have to live perfectly? I said I have to repent and cleanse myself in the blood of Jesus.
You're
a liar.
You're
a liar. Not all on me. It's all on Jesus Christ and my following him and my obeying him. He said in Hebrews 5:9 says, he made the way of eternal life for those who obey him. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Jesus said, come out of the world, or you're going to be judged by the world. James 4:4, 1 John 2:15, if you love the things of the world, the love of the Father is not in you. You must walk in the light, 1 John says. You're not walking in the light. You're living in sin and false ways. So that's a lie. We preach Christ. You know what? I really take that to heart. We're here preaching Christ crucified. You guys are here entertaining yourself. And you're telling me we're living by our own works? You're here entertaining yourself. And we're preaching Christ crucified. And you're about to correct us. You have no standing, sir. I love you. But you have no standing to say something like that. My brothers know. He told us we don't preach Christ crucified for salvation. He said we're relying on our works to make it to the kingdom of God. That's not what you preach. It's not what I preach. It's not what he preaches. It's not what my wife preaches. No liars are going to inherit the kingdom of God. I already warned you about that. You need to repent then. You need to repent. If you keep, you know what? There's a great warning on your life, both of you. You keep going to the Baptist church and you keep living worldly and you keep doing false man-made religions. When you die, God's going to say, my workers met you in the street. You could never refute what they said. You got our gospel card. If your pastor can call me and get us all on the phone and refute me, I'm listening. And then when he's done, I got questions for him. I have offered hundreds of Baptist pastors that. Guess how many have taken me up on it? That's right, zero. Zero. They go hide in the dark. Hey, what happened to the Baptist pastor that was just here? Maybe it's his pastor.
He left.
Why did he leave?
He couldn't stand in the word.
He was, what was he quoting? Oh, talking about once saved, always saved?
Once saved, always saved. That guy actually admitted football was covetous. So yep. That's the best Baptist fruit I've seen.
And what verse did he run away that he wouldn't explain?
I believe it was Hebrews 10:26.
That if you live in willful sin, there's no sacrifice, but a fiery judgment coming for the enemies of God. What happened to Ananias and Sapphira in Acts 5 after grace had come? God kills two people for a lie.
Yeah, they didn't.
What happened?
They refused to give up all their land.
They lied. They had one lie. Do you think they entered the kingdom of God after being judged that way?
No.
There goes your once saved, always saved.
Who says they were saved to begin with?
They were in the body. How about this? Ready?
There's a lot of unsaved
ready?
People.
How about Simon in the book of Acts? He's with Peter. I think Peter had pretty good discernment of people. Simon wants to buy the Holy Spirit. Peter turns to him and says he was a baptized believer. Don't you say he was not. That you're judging him wrongly. He's a baptized believer. And he says, I want to buy the Holy Spirit. And Peter says, don't worry. Once saved, always saved. You're good to go. You're going to make it a kingdom no matter what. Peter says, I'll paraphrase, you better repent of that, you wicked man. Maybe God will give you repentance. I see you're in the gall of iniquity and sin. That's the warning. That Calvinism is an absolute heresy. Started with Augustine, who was a heretic in the 2nd and 3rd centuries. And all the way going up to Calvin and Luther. And Calvin and Luther, first of all, do we follow Scripture or early church fathers?
Yeah, but where did they get their material from? I'm not saying they're inspired words.
They led the world into Roman Catholicism. Paul said, as soon as I leave, ravenous wolves will come in. The early church fathers came in. They brought in Roman Catholicism. You know how? They brought in bishops ruling over whole regions when it should be godly men in each local body. They started infant baptism, and they turned the Lord's Supper into a mystical practice. They led the way for the Roman Catholic Church. That's your founding fathers. Clement was a heretic. Augustine was a heretic. Paul wasn't a heretic. Paul never taught false doctrine. Peter never taught false doctrine. Why don't you just need their word?
No, I agree.
No, but you're bringing in Clement and Augustine and Calvin. You don't need them. You're being deceived by men, young men. You need to repent. You're going to lose your soul. You have no answer from God's word.
So even in history, like when you look at, so right now what you're doing is exhorting us, rebuking us, correct?
Yep, which is biblical.
Which is biblical.
Because I love you.
Right.
You don't repent, you're going to lose your souls.
So, what about teachings from older men? Are they allowed to do that as well, or no?
Teaching from who, what older men?
Throughout history, there should be people before you who lived before you that lived the exact same way besides out of the Bible. Right?
First of all, the true ecclesia and the remnant are not going to hardly be known because the world hates them. And they don't publish their teachings all over. And guess what? They didn't go out and publish more things. They had the sealed word of God already. So we have the word of God. The men of old behind us didn't add to God's word. They didn't create new theology. Calvinism's a new theology.
I don't
need anybody's writings but Jesus, Paul, Peter, John the Baptist, the prophets of old, all inspired scripture. Why do the Baptists and the churches always defend man-made religion and all their teachings?
I'm not trying to defend man-made religion.
You're saying, what about them?
But how did you get from Paul and Peter's writings to here? That's what I'm trying to understand, because we don't have those original manuscripts.
You don't even believe God's word?
I believe in God's word.
Then why you question the veracity of it?
I'm not questioning the veracity. You're saying that we shouldn't have man-made things, right?
We should not have man-made doctrines that go outside the word of God like Calvinism.
Right. And I'm...
And you do. We shouldn't have false traditions like the Baptist faith, and you do.
Right, but I'm...
Shouldn't have pagan holidays, and you do. You shouldn't be feminized, and you are. You shouldn't be worldly, and you are. How much longer do you want me to go?
I don't think you understand what I'm trying to ask you. Is if we don't have the original letters that Paul and them wrote, right...
Actually, we have 24,000 manuscripts that back up the New Testament.
Right. Copies of the original.
Okay.
Copies.
So, but again, I'll ask you, do you believe God's word is true?
Right.
Then why are you going after the veracity of Paul's letters?
I'm trying to understand where you stand upon to go about when you're saying that man-made translations of that.
I didn't say translation one time. I was talking about teachers, false teachers.
Right.
False theology. I happen to use a King James Bible, which has errors, but if you... Go to the Greek and Hebrew. Some Baptists believe in King James only. That's another heresy.
Yeah,
but if you use the Greek and the Hebrew, you can get through it. Like, it uses the word Easter one time, which is an absolute heretical way. The word is Pashach. It means Passover in Acts. Right. I think it's Acts 12. So we go to the Greek and the Hebrew, and we back up all the translations, and God's word is pure and true.
Okay.
So what's the question? Why do I need Calvin's writings?
What I'm trying to understand is, like, you get your teachings from Scripture, and then somebody...
Where does Jesus say we get our word, our life from? Matthew 4:4. We live by every word of the mouth of God. Why are you guys living by man-made doctrine?
Because you're doing the same exact thing.
No, nothing we teach is man-made. Brothers, you know anything we teach that's man-made? What would we do if we had a man-made doctrine?
Throw it out, right?
We'd repent of it quick. Have we all lost our man-made doctrines and our flesh and our worldliness? Have we lost our families and our friends, and we lost our careers and everything for Jesus? Funny, it's what Jesus said in Matthew 10, unless you lose your life, you can't find him. Have you guys lost all your friends and your family and your careers and everything to follow Christ biblically?
I lost some family and friends, yes.
Yeah, but you went into the Baptist church, which you're not following Jesus, you're following man-made religion, so you lost them for the wrong reason, apparently. I love you. I'm just telling you the truth. You can't stand against God's word. You can stand here all day long and try to defend a false, feminized, false gospel, heretical system. But Jesus stands against you, and he's coming in flaming fire. Second Thessalonians 1. He's coming in flaming fire to destroy all those that don't know God and don't obey the gospel. When he comes back, he's destroying politics of man. He's destroying sports. He's destroying movies and Hollywood. He's destroying all your denominations.
I'd hope so.
Why would you labor in them if he's coming to destroy it? That makes absolutely no sense, because you're going to be linked with it and cast out in the fire of destruction as well. Because when you sing and pray with heresy, you're in heresy.
Should light have any fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness?
That's a good one.
Should tares grow with the wheat?
You want to cover that one, brother? I'll let you guys have this one. This is low-hanging fruit.
The Lord lets us both grow up together. That way at the end, the angels will reap. There will be two reapings. They will bind the tares and throw them down the punchable fire, but the wheat he will put into his barn.
Yeah.
Right.
Are we still in the Old Testament? Do we kill heretics? No, we mark and avoid them. We publicly rebuke them.
And also, where is the parable of the wheat and the tares actually take place in context, and Jesus tells us? Is it about the church or the world?
About the world.
about the world. He says right in the parable, it's about the world. You just brought it into the church. You said we can be in the church and there's wheat and tares. There's no tares in the body of Christ. You're born by the blood. Guess who puts you in the body of Christ? In the Baptist faith, you just walk in the front door and say, I'm here. No. And then you get baptized. No. Acts 2 says God adds people to the body. That parable about the wheat and the tares is about the world. It's about the great wine press of wrath that's coming in Revelation when God sends his angel and he plunges the sickle. And the harvest is going to be great. You know why it's going to be great, brother? Why is it going to be great? Remember, we just studied this not long ago. He's the youngest of us, and that's why he's brand new to a lot of this. You remember? Why is it going to be great? When you harvest, what happens?
Well, you separate the wheat from the chaff.
Very good. Yeah. And how much wheat is there versus chaff, brother? There's a little tiny bit of wheat. I used to be an old farmer. Big, big corn stalk. You get 2 ears and everything else blows out the back. The harvest is going to be great, and most of the harvest is going to be worldly, wicked, false denominational people like you guys. You're going to be part of the harvest, but you're not going to make it into the barn. You're going to make it into the fire. Thank you, brother. Good job. Does all that make sense? If you can give me scripture to refute me, I'm ready. But if you can't, God's word stands. It is true. You must repent. You don't be like a foolish man like I used to be. Ready? Do you know what kicking against a goat is? You ever heard of that? Kicking against the pricks? Go up to that building and start beating your head on the wall thinking you're going to bring it down. That's what it is. So like we take God's truth and we go, my way, my way, my way, Baptist way, Baptist way, Baptist way. You're going to end up with a bloody head in hell. Go God's way and you will lose everything. And tell your pastor, where's your Baptist church? What's the name of it?
Slink Creek. Because where? It's in the city of Lynn Creek.
Lynn Creek? The only Baptist church in Lynn Creek? What's your pastor's name?
I don't think it is.
What's your pastor's name?
I don't know if I want to share that.
Why? He's a man of God. He doesn't want to be told. What?
Why do you want to know?
Because I want to test your church. Maybe I want to reach out to him and see if he wants to set up.
I think he would do that.
Really? Like what's his name? I'll reach out to him.
Okay, it's Colton Wright.
Colton Wright. W-R-I-G-H-T. Mm-hmm. Colton Wright in Lynn Creek. I will send him an email. I've made this offer to probably well over 1,000 modern pastors.
I think last year you were in Camdenton, right? If I remember.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that the church?
No, that's not it.
Okay.
We were just going to one of the events there and saw.
Yeah, we stood outside that Baptist church, and the pastor and the worship leader came out and mocked us and just laughed and made fun. And then I saw him at a festival like this down in Mount Vernon, the worship leader, and I said, hey, is it time now? He said, I don't have time to open the Word of God that day. It was Sunday after church. I said, how about now? You're here at a festival feeding your flesh in frivolity. You want to open the Word of God now? And he went, and he just walked away from me. I catch him in the grocery store. They don't have time. I show him in front of their church. They don't have time. I email him. They don't have time. I find him driving down the road somewhere with a sign on their car. I just met a guy that does some ministry. He didn't have time. John 3, 19 through 21. Jesus said, light has come into the world, but men love darkness. He's the light. And we represent his light. Men love darkness, and the light reproves them. So where do they go, brother?
They hide in the darkness.
That's what modern pastors do. Because the truth of God's not on their side. And if he was to get biblical, he'd lose his church, which he should. How many people go there? 100?
No, not quite.
50?
Yeah, sure.
If 50 were there, I'd be surprised if one of you would come out and enter the kingdom of God. The ratio is so. Do you know how small the kingdom of God is going to be in numbers of people? Have you ever thought about this? Jesus gives us the example from the Old Testament. Brother, how many comes out of this flood in Noah's day?
Eight.
Eight out of maybe millions, some people say. Brother, how many come out of Sodom and Gomorrah?
Is that only three?
Yeah. Three come out of Sodom and Gomorrah. Tens of thousands of people. This is the few that Jesus knew. How many come out of... Now, I'm going to ask my brothers. I know they know this one. You guys know this. How many come out of Israel from the desert of the men that are fighting age to go into the Holy Land out of 600,000 men? The Bible tells us the exact number. How many does God bless and say, you're worthy? You've got to be worthy. Not with Christ.
Six? I don't remember how many went to the
cross.
I was thinking of those with Joshua and Caleb. I don't remember
two.
How many.
Okay, Joshua and Caleb. So you take that 600,000 to two, and if you just use like the same math number, I'm not saying this is true. I'm giving you a reference. 330 million Americans, it's like 1,500 people.
And Moses became unworthy to go into the promised land.
What makes
and God judged him.
What makes somebody
and God worthy? Judged him and said, because you didn't do what I told you to do. But I'll guarantee you, Moses repented. But guess what? Even when you repent, there's ramifications for your sin. Right, yeah. Where's my godly wife?
This is my son-in-law, that's my daughter, and there's my daughter, my wife's over there. What makes a person, are you worthy to go to heaven? You yourself.
Am I what, sir?
Are you worthy? Are you going to, if God calls you home right now, standing right here, where are you going to go?
Ohio State, is that?
That's Buckeyes.
Is that worldly, carnal, covetous, riotous? Why would we put that on our temple? Do you claim to be a man of God?
Because I'm from Ohio.
You claim to be a man of God, and that's how you dress your temple?
What? What is that?
God told me to wear a tunic-like garment and not adorn it and not to promote the worldly carnal ways. I mean, look at the fruit you're bringing, sir. American flag on your head. Is that patriotism? That's idolatry? What nation alone did God lift up, sir? Israel. America's a wicked, corrupt nation. It's Sodom 2. America is Sodom 2. The wrath of God is coming. If you want to know the gospel, would you like a gospel card?
You did not answer my question.
Here's the gospel by which you're saved.
You did not answer my question.
Jesus shed his blood to make a way for us.
If you were to take your last breath standing right near, right now, where are you going to go? Heaven or hell?
Well,
there's only two places.
My hope is eternity with Christ because of his shed blood. And my belief in it, I can't make that way. And the Bible says, repent and leave your sin. Be born again by the Spirit of God. I was just preaching to these men. And when you're born again, the fruit, let me finish the gospel. The fruit of being born again is holiness and obedience. And you endure in the faith. These men are Calvinists. They have a false gospel. You must endure. Jesus said it in Matthew 24. Jesus said it in Matthew 10. Paul says it in 1 Corinthians 15. Paul says it in many places. You must endure to the end. Now, am I called to be worthy to carry my part of the covenant? Absolutely. Right. If I live in sin like you do with Ohio State, you're going to lose your soul.
If God was to strike me dead right now, which is highly possible, or if Jesus was to come back.
If you're in sin, you're going to lose your soul. You're in worldliness and your sin. If he's your personal savior, you would come out of the world.
I stand before God when he...
Don't call my father a liar.
I am.